Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee, and this is the God Show. Let's go. And today we have a very special guest. I'm going to put the word legend to her name. The funny thing is that when she stormed on the scene, she came on the scene with the GOAT. Like, when we heard her name for the first time, it was making records for the GOAT. Yes. She's every rapper's favorite collaborator. Like, I looked at her Spotify. She got records with every classic great rapper has a record with you.
That's crazy.
And she's here today to bless the blue couch with an interview. Let's give it up for Marsha Ambrosius. Yeah.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm great.
I love the hat.
Love it.
Thanks.
I was about to say something. You know,
when we've been in this game so long that, and we were just talking about this in the car, you could look at people and tell if life's treating them good. Mm. Life is treating you really good.
Oh, man.
You don't have to open your mouth. I could just, right. The glasses, the lipstick, the hat. Yeah. It's
energy
all like,
is oozing off. Yeah. It's oozing,
you're
right
glowing off. Right now.
Appreciate that.
I'm happy for you.
I'm really happy.
Yes. How did
I'm
you get
really
there?
Happy. A journey, like a long one. I mean, you've known
for sure.
Since
I met you in 07.
Right, 07, and I was here.
Yep, you was
ATL,
here.
ATL, doing what we were doing during
Philly
those
taking
times.
Over. It was a Philly takeover. You was yes.
I got to America at the right time. Like, even going by ways of Philly, by ways of Atlanta.
Yeah.
I landed in Atlanta first. And then just got the free ticket to check out Philly, do some open mic gigs, and the rest is history.
That's how it happened?
Pretty much. A friend of ours, when Nat and myself were doing Flowetry late 99, a friend of ours was staying in Atlanta.
Mm.
Say, yo, I have a couple of open mic gigs.
Yeah.
You know, I can get you guys a flight.
And where you guys were
here.
In the UK?
London.
Okay.
And we took that free flight.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Landed in ATL. And
no, just y'all two?
Yeah.
No, like, team, just y'all two?
We didn't know nothing.
Wow.
Like, just the free tickets. I was like, okay, let's go. So I told my mother I'm going on a 2-week vacation to Atlanta. And then we got a call, like, my homeboy was playing basketball in New Jersey. And it was like, yo, I know a promoter in Philly said he want to fly you out too.
So where's all of this interest coming from? They just, y'all name is just buzzing? People hearing about y'all?
It wasn't even a name buzzing. Like, we were doing underground poetry things in the UK. So that scene was fairly heavy early 2000s. So my homeboy that was playing ball had a demo tape, and Philly was kind of doing the same thing. The whole open mic, Black Lily. Here was Apache Cafe.
Yeah.
Philly was Black Lily.
She is Atlanta.
She's
she said Apache.
Right.
Oh,
she's
my
outside.
God. You this is true. This is dope. I love
right.
that.
So doing all of those things, getting seen, and I get to Philly, and that's when I stumbled upon A Touch of Jazz and its excellence.
A Touch of Jazz is Jazzy Jeff.
Jazz.
Okay.
So it's Andre and Vidal, Carvin, Ivan, Keith, and Dee, and they have just made Music Soul Child's first album.
That's
Just Friends. Just Friends just gets the radio that summer. Jill Scott, Long Walk, like Getting in the way, like all of those things are going to radio that summer. So yeah, it was a Philly takeover.
Yeah.
So we're getting the remnants of the magic that was already created.
Mm-hmm.
So here's these two British girls, you know, all the energy, completely green, but still hungry. And
dope,
I'm like,
as fuck.
Yo, whoever
that.
Did that. The Way or Long Walk, who's that? Like Andre Harris. So him and I were like this, like musical soulmates from the rip. So we started doing demos and I started, you know, sharing little ideas. And I played this record that I had, Butterflies, which I'd written for. I wrote that when I was 16 about a boy.
I want you to just give me, first of all.
No, this is how it happened. This is the time.
But I want you to say, I want to tell you something. I'll do this, but I'm genuinely a fan. So, like, I'll get goosebumps. Like, tell me the story about how you made Butterfly. So, I want to hear it.
Easy. I had a crush on a guy that worked in McDonald's in Camberwell, South London. Had the demo of just me on the piano. So when I get to Philly, I'm like, oh, these guys are dope.
Producers,
like, now I can really, really flourish these ideas.
Yeah.
So I give the idea to Dre, kind of have piano, keys, the whole chords thing. And he's like, yo, that's dope. We kind of collab on that, build the song out. And then Michael Jackson hears it because that demo is on the Flowetic
yes,
demo.
Exactly.
To shut the deal. So Mike hears it by ways of John McClane that was signing us to DreamWorks. That would eventually get us signed to DreamWorks.
Yeah.
It was like, yo, Mike wants this record though. I'm like, oh, bet.
How does that feel? Like
crazy. What
do you mean? Because I'm like,
I say it out loud.
Yeah, so I'm like, you like, it's like sometimes you drop it, it's like, dog.
But for those that don't know, you have to understand that I'm what, 22, 23 at that time. And completely green to the industry, especially in the US.
Yeah.
Like, this was a 2-week trip to Atlanta. I land in Philly. I'm telling my mother it's 2 weeks. Now it's been 4 weeks.
Oh,
now
wow.
It's a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's a month or two. Now it's 3 months. Now it's, yo, we might.
Now your mom's like, what the hell is going on with
so
you?
So I think I only went back home to renew a visa, came back, and by December I had a deal.
Mm.
And then by 2001, that's when I went in the studio with Mike, and I'm telling him what to do. I'm vocally coaching that whole thing, and him and I going back and forth in the backgrounds, and the rest is history. But it's like, that's where I started. That's before a Flow With You album even came about. Like, it's just.
So that's the start.
How do you.
Yeah.
You're 22. You're brand new. Mm. You went on a trip to Atlanta.
Free trip.
A free trip.
Free.
And then a couple of months later, you're in the studio with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Is that like not surreal? Like,
of course it
was
is.
Was it a confirmation or awakening?
A combination of the both, because I feel like along the way I'd had awakenings, because Butterflies in Camberwell, the street where the McDonald's is, and I didn't put two and two together until years later, the place is called Butterfly Walk, and I didn't even...
Wow.
That's like not that, it wasn't even...
That's God. That's I love
that's
that.
The awakening.
Yes.
So the awakening, that's happening throughout the journey.
Yeah.
The confirmation is when the king of pop tells you that that's great.
Yes.
And what I saw in it anyway,
yeah,
I knew it was good. I knew it was from my heart and I loved it. But to get confirmation and absolute validation from the king of pop... I mean, this isn't something that, you know, Mike's heard my record and he likes it. No, we've recorded it. Not only have we recorded it, it's out. Like, you can press play and you can hear
And
Mike
y'all version is out, too, and y'all version sounds
finest.
Just as good. Yep.
Yes.
So the demo is pretty much what Mike heard to want to do it. So DreamWorks spin was like, no, we need to let people know that this girl, Marsha Ambrosius, wrote this amazing record for Michael Jackson. So listening to the demo and listening to his version... Like, I still listen to that now, and it's just like, wow. Like, I'm wowed by it. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Like, I remember it because I was there, but like.
But it's still like, how the fuck? Did that really?
It really
Because he passes away, and now he's gone. So it's almost, it's like any, like we were just in an event. L.A. Reid was just talking about Michael Jackson. I'm like, anytime somebody tell me they met Michael Jackson, I'm just jealous because I'm like. Because you got to remember, when you coming in the game, it's certain people you like, I know I'm going to meet him.
That's my goal.
I know I'm, when I get in the room with that person, that's it. And then he passed.
And
I remember I called Akon one day and he was with Mike. Mm. Close I ever got to him. I'm like, Akon, I need to talk to you. He's like, well, I'm with Mike right now. I'm like, nigga, you sitting with Michael Jackson? Like, he's sitting right next to you while I'm on the phone? He's like, yeah, well, what's up? I said, nothing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, do you.
Do that.
Because whatever you have to say.
Talk to Michael Jackson.
It doesn't matter
I promise
now,
you whatever I got going on ain't as important.
Like, I would get calls from Mike. I would call Mike, like, actually far away. The idea that I had was supposed to be a duet. Michael Jackson was always supposed to do verse two of Far Away. And he passed away 2009. I wrote it, like, 2008. And I'm like, Jay, yo, you need to get Mike this record to say I have something. I said, yo, just, you know, I'll reach out, connect the dots. You know, you try and make sure that Michael Jackson's number still working. And I still have Michael Jackson on my voicemail to this day. I'll never change it. And yeah, it's wild that throughout the years, I've been able to communicate with some of the greatest musicians on this planet. And yes, I elaborate on the story only for you to really let it set in that I started there. So
yes.
I didn't really need to do
After you do that, how can anyone tell you, 22 now, like as an adult, it might be a little different, but when you, it's like, how does anybody tell, I just was in the studio with Michael Jackson and telling him, and suggesting vocals for him to sing. How are you going to tell me something?
Mm-mm, you can't. can't tell me.
You
nothing.
Can't
tell. Nothing.
I like Kanye.
There's nothing,
it's nothing really, you can tell me.
No, and yeah. It wasn't even an arrogant thing. Yeah. It was just I was young.
Yes.
But I'm floating around the world. Like, I must be doing something okay. Like, okay,
you think?
Whether you like me, whether you think I'm cool, or whether you like it or not, Mike likes it.
Yes.
So, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Amarsh, I want you to do this or no. You, like all the no's and the doors that may have been closed,
yeah.
Like,
they open.
Okay. Not even they open.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
you didn't
for
even
me.
Care about
because
it.
Because Mike was for me. So if you're like, yes. Oh no, I'm like, okay.
You're lost.
Like,
you're
I'll
lost.
Take the L.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah. On to the next. And something else will work.
And the best part, I have to ask a question. Does the kid at McDonald's know that he inspired a song, that Michael Jackson song?
I keep bringing this up, man. Not only does he not know, I don't even know if I remember, like, I don't know his name.
Mm.
I just knew he was my neighbor's friend. Like, the kid, like, my mother knew the mother. I knew the kid, Mark, and it was that squad, like,
yeah.
The fine South London boys.
Yeah.
Two slits in the eyebrows, high tubs with the, like, just 90s.
Yes.
Quintessential Mr. Dalvin Devontae's running around South
yes.
London, and he was one of them. And I don't know if you know that.
So I'm asking you, so are you at this age discovering yourself as a writer? Are you discovered as a writer? Are you like, let me see it? Is it something that people around you are like, you're great at? Like, because you wrote it at 16. And by the way, that makes sense because the concept of nothing is sweeter than a woman telling
pure.
You, "You give me butterflies." Like
pure.
That's
yeah.
That's the pinnacle of innocence.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, did you know that you were like? I'm just curious.
I don't know. That's a tough one to even answer. I just knew I was being honest with my emotions. Mm. So I feel like any creative that you know will go into the studio with a premeditated notion that, oh, I want to make a song that makes everyone feel like this.
Yeah.
Or I feel like it's either a turn up, a turn down, a turn on. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the hook?
What's the emotion? Yep.
Sometimes your actual feelings have to dictate that.
Yeah.
You know, you go in the studio thinking one thing and someone will play a chord or hear a beat and it will strike a nerve or bring up an old memory.
Like yes.
Something. Mm. So I just go with the feeling.
Yeah.
Especially even when I'm writing for other people, like, if I had to write a song for you, you have to let me know where you're at
mm-hmm.
in your life. Because I could write you what I think.
Yes.
But you have to believe it. And if it's not yours, you'll never be able to pull it off. You won't
yeah.
sustain it. You won't be able to believe this.
Yeah.
This is not something you can sing years from now.
Mm.
Like, I've made music that I meant in the moment, understood that I wasn't the only person that felt that way. And if I could continue to do that, my music would sustain the test of time.
The key to being a great creative, you have to be emotionally vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be honest with yourself. You
mm-hmm.
have to, like, you can lie to the world, but
oh, yeah.
if you can't be honest with yourself and with your feelings, you're mm-hmm. never going to be able to express those words. And someone that manages songwriters have developed them. It nothing to me is, from a creative standpoint, is closer to God than writing songs.
Man.
Movies, no, because let me tell you why.
It.
Because I can play a song for you right now that make you want to get up and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it off, play a song that reminds you of a family member that passed away and instantly make you cry.
Mm-hmm.
Music is that powerful, but it's the words. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine somebody giving you words to say, to express yourself. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. it's to me, it's the hardest thing to do. It's harder than writing a book. It's harder than anything, because you only got four bars. I mean, it's like, mm. like I gotta tell a whole story
right.
in about 30 words. Like, it's like,
yeah.
And I gotta make sure it sings right.
Right.
I gotta make sure. That's why. But that comes if you're sincere.
Right.
If you're like you're one of the GOATs, Adele. Very like she's in the GOAT. Very like expressive. Like mm. Butterflies is in the same world to me as someone like you, where it's like. It's just so sincere. It's like, how does a tainted heart write those lyrics? You follow me? Because you're a writer,
yeah.
so you understand what I'm trying to
no,
say.
I
and there's a lot
you.
Of evil artists out here who's using it for
don't
negative.
Say, you know what? It's not evil artists. And I, I've
evil
spoken
music.
On this a little bit. The evil music you speak of, And this is by no means trying to excuse the behaviors.
For sure.
But circumstance does play into why evil music is happening and why this frequency is so readily available.
Mm.
And I'd say post-pandemic and close to round about that time, no kids in this generation are looking at the future. Mm. They're not writing for tomorrow.
We wasn't either.
Like,
it was just making what you felt that day, yep.
It's that day, but our generation and generations before were speaking that long-term love.
Mm.
Like, will you still love me tomorrow?
Yep.
But that tomorrow wasn't literally tomorrow.
It could have been
tomorrow
next year.
Tomorrow was our future. Yep. We're going to have kids. Do we have grandbabies? Do we retire together?
Yeah.
That's that music. These kids about tomorrow is, I don't know, I'm shooting everybody.
Yeah.
I'm robbing a bank, selling drugs, something.
Yeah.
YOLO.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yep.
Tomorrow, yep. Literally.
Yep.
So I don't think the music created now from that frequency can be played 24 years from
mm-hmm.
now. My version of that was Say Yes.
Yes.
It was Butterflies.
Yes.
It was those. It was Getting Late. It's Hello.
Timeless
it's
music.
You. But that was my tomorrow.
Mm.
And I was 23. So it's inexcusable to say, oh, it's a young thing.
Yeah.
It's a time thing.
It is, though. It's a place in life. But I thought like that. But then in today's world, why don't we have a Lauren? Like someone who's just expressive about like what is like being like mm. Lauren really made us think about it, and she was a kid. You see what I'm trying to say? Like you still
really
sat down.
Why?
Tell me, I want to hear.
You really want to know?
I really want to know. Let's go.
With all the frequencies that have disrupted positivity,
mm.
it's easier for you to acknowledge someone that would twerk, turn up, show every piece of arse that there is available.
Yeah.
Because they've cheapened the idea of woman being sacred.
Mm.
So you say Lauren. Lauren can't be Lauren if you don't allow me to Lauren. Allow me to be a Lauren.
Yes.
And that's what's happened.
And that's why
we put a price tag on us as artists. And if you're just giving it away, and this is across the board.
For sure.
This is from mm-hmm. how you've streamed music now. Before you had to pay your 99 cents just for me.
Yep.
Now you can subscribe $9.99
for everything
and
in
get
the world.
Everyone.
Everything.
So understand what that did to not only our musical
yes.
dollar,
yep.
what it did to the art.
Yep.
So now you're just giving me for free.
Yeah.
Well, I may as well sell ours now.
But
so no, Lauren doesn't exist.
But
because
what you just said to me is why I said evil, because they're not even allowing it to breathe.
Mm.
Like there is somebody in power who can say, where is that? And by the way, and there is a development piece to it. There is a I can help you. What you're doing is great, but let me show you, or let me put you in a room with a Rodney Jerkins, a Timbaland. Let me support
yeah.
you with someone that's gonna help you express yourself. But we don't, it's almost like how they say bad news travels the world three times before good
news
does.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like when I'm listening to you, like I feel so good right now because like I feel like I'm sitting next to pure.
Mm.
And pureness doesn't mean great or pureness doesn't mean bad. Pureness just means I'm me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not that.
Right.
And I'm not going to do that. But you've also made...
If I had a big enough ass, it would be out there. No.
Listen,
look, I say all that to say I'm not shading anyone
for sure
that feels as sexually free and as expressive as that is. What I'm saying is the industry put a price tag on that, and
yeah.
the price tag is free.
Yes. Mm.
At the very least, put your price tag on it.
Yeah.
You can have it all.
Yeah.
It comes at a price.
Yes.
So now that it's free, what is that actually costing you?
Yep.
So I want 20 years from now, anyone that is free and expressive, and it's not about your body no more,
yeah.
where is your mind at?
Yeah.
because I know what I was doing in my 20s. I know what I was doing 07 in ATL, and it's not on Instagram. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank God.
We got into some shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
We was on our shit back then, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But
you was lame if you put your camera out. Who this lame ass nigga pulling his camera out?
Who's doing that?
Who's he? Now everybody. Now if you don't put your camera out, we don't even trust you. Like, what is this nigga camera? Like,
listen, we live in the twilight zone. Everything that we knew
every
was different.
Every move. Seriously. Like, so, I wish a Lauren. I wish for our Laurens. Pray for our Laurens.
Yes.
They're actually there. They exist.
We want to support you.
We can't see them because what's free is so readily available and accessible.
Yeah.
I have to swipe a million times to find that magic.
Yes.
Because there's so much noise.
Because it's so...
So when I do find it, I'm like, so something is a breath of fresh air and it's refreshing. Like, someone's real and honest and just cool. Like...
Yes.
It's not cool to be cool no more.
It's not cool to be... It's not cool to be... It feels like it's not cool to be an individual. It's not cool. Like, it's... Even if you look at, like the sidebar, when you look at cancel culture, it is rooted in, you don't think like me. Cancel him. And it's like, bro, like, we all were different. Like, we didn't know what our neighbors thought.
That's my issue. We never had to agree.
We didn't.
It was all different people.
Yes.
Like, it's okay to be, it's not a right or wrong thing. Whatever your opinion
whatever
is,
it works
be
for you.
Free for your opinion. But I'm like, wow, that's crazy. I don't even think like that.
Yeah. Thanks
Tell
for that. Thanks,
you know
thanks
I mean?
For that thought process.
Moving.
Even if I don't like it.
But why are we tuned in? Why am I'm taking so much energy to not like what someone else thinks or feels? It comes back to Michael Jackson told me I was excellent. Stevie Wonder told me I was excellent. Dr. Dre today, like we have an album dropping June 28th. Today, 24 years later, tells me I'm great. But I want to listen to the internet or noise. You know what? I don't bang with her.
I just want you to know, in man's world, pardon my French, we call what you just did, put my dick on the table. Let me let y'all niggas know who I am.
Life flex.
Michael Jackson told me I was great. Dr. Dre tells me I'm great. Like, it's
Stevie
like,
Wonder,
if
Stevie
a nigga
Wonder.
Did that, every nigga be like, all right, bro, you got it, bro, you got it. That was amazing. You can literally say Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, they told me I was great. That's incredible.
So it's from 2000, mind you.
Yes.
This is 24 years of my true heroes. If anyone has ever asked me, it's Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Prince, No Order. Mm. They are the three, and there are pockets. They're the umbrellas and everyone else that does what they do for me.
Oh, no, I'm glad you said that. Who do you, which umbrella are you under?
It's a combination of the three.
So you got them all
like
in
it's,
you.
It's a wild umbrella. Yes. It's a crazy design. It's the three-tiered chandelier thing. But Mike, the level of stardom.
Yes.
From yay high to
9 years old to the day he died.
Like, it don't make no sense. Stevie, how dare you write songs that we can see better than we see ourselves?
Mm.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I saw another songwriter, Jasper, he said something about Stevie Wonder that I thought was, like, incredible. He said, Lately is the greatest, one of the greatest R&B songs ever, if not the number one. And it was like, why? He was like, because he started breaking down the lyrics. That's why I'm telling you, songwriters are special because you have to pay attention to the lyrics. And I think I'm like a shark, but a shark when it comes to that. And then here come a dude that does it. And he points it out. I'm like, damn, nigga, damn, Jasper. But he said that he was like, far more frequently you're wearing perfume. And he was like, you got to think about that for a second.
Right.
He could not see her.
Right.
He couldn't see what she was wearing, so he could smell her when she was leaving out the house. And it's like, to be
conscious
to say, far more frequently you're wearing perfume.
And with you say, special place to go. Like, you're telling me you don't have nothing to do, but I noticed this difference in us and our interaction and relationship. Like I said, that man can see better than we can see through the music that he created.
And I'm going to tell you something. I was just telling my girl, we were just talking about that. While I was like, I was like, do you realize that we was in the room with Stevie Wonder? I'm like, I know that might not feel, I'm like, it was a party, but I'm like, nigga, Stevie Wonder is sitting right there. He wasn't standing up, he was just sitting on the couch. I'm like, I can't believe I was in the room with him, let alone he told me I was great.
Shit. sharing.
How the fuck do you not walk around acting like Kanye West? Like, how do you not walk around acting like Ye?
He's a Gemini. I'm a Leo. I've preserved my crazy Leos. In such a way.
I mean, whoever your man is, that you cry, you crazy behind some closed doors.
Oh, yeah. That I'm not gonna deny. You know. But no, it's this level of peace. And like you say, the awakening,
yes,
and confirmation,
yes,
in the same thing. It's, I've done some things. I've been validated and approved by my greats.
Yes.
So
our greats.
Everybody's
don't say my greats.
Right.
Ours.
It's wild to think of it like that. So I just have to just sometimes take a back seat and be like, thank you, life.
I just gotta ask a question. If this might be hard, but I feel like it's not because you are an actual purist. Give me one song from each that you want to be your song or wish was your song.
Oh my God! So for Mike, it's always been "I Can't Help It," and that's crazy that Stevie Wonder wrote that.
Get the
Yep.
Yeah. So that's always been that thing. Prince. Oh. Take Me With You is like...
The chords are just so perfect, right?
It's perfect.
Yeah. I got goosebumps all over my arms right now. That's crazy.
Stevie, now this is difficult because this man's catalog is just extensive. Make Sure You're Sure from the Jungle Fever soundtrack.
Mm.
And Where Were You When I Needed You, Superwoman.
Mm.
My top two. Mm. Yeah.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah. Make Sure You're Sure is another one where he could see.
Yeah.
He saw that entire thing played out.
Have you ever met Prince?
Oh, yeah. Several times. He was chill at the house.
Motherfucker said it like, what you talking about, nigga? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All three of them. Like, I've really had great relationships with and spoken to. Prince and I spoke often, and
I got a question after you finish. I got one question. So funny.
No, go ahead. Ask him first, because I can go.
No, I want you to go. But like, did he? Like, obviously. So I don't know Prince. Never met him. Mm-hmm. But I'm a study. I study all of these guys. And the one thing about Prince that I realized was that Prince was like slick funny. He was like low. He was almost like he was with how these chicks be trying to be shady. Like,
oh no,
he was the first.
The Kang.
He's the first. So I'm asking you. So I'm asking you. You meet Prince for the first time. Mm-hmm. Prince knows you wrote a record at 16 for My Rival. Does he say anything about?
He didn't. We didn't even talk about that. When I met Prince for the first time, it was Grammy week. But that's when Grammys was in New York.
Yes.
I want to say early 2000. Yep. So I think we'd just been nominated, like maybe for the first album or something like that. And B.B. King's, oh man, B.B. King's ain't even there in New York no more. Yes,
42nd Street, Times Square.
B.B. King's had the after party downstairs and someone had kind of whispered like, hey, Prince wants to, I'm like.
Hold on. What's my whisper? What?
Like Prince wants to meet you. And I was like, what, Prince? So I'm panicking, like, okay, Marsh, you've waited your entire life for this moment. Like, what are you even going to say? It doesn't even matter. Let's just go. So I go to meet him, like, the security guard's clear, and it's him. And, you know, he glows purple.
I would say, did he have a purple?
No, I mean, I saw a purple glow. Yes. I don't know where he's sure it glowed for me. It was like a slow motion movie, and he said, I really love you. You know, Prince's voice. I really love your voice.
Yeah.
Like, I really love your voice. You sound Saudi Arabian, the way you use your scales, the way you intricately move between the notes. And I was just like,
I'm sorry. You know you're Prince, right? Exactly. Yeah.
I love you at the end. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that's what I said, but I know I cried. A majority of that night, happy tears, of course, but it was just like an awakening.
Yes.
Because he could see me.
Yes.
He could hear me. And yes, those inflections were purposeful.
I was about to say that they had to almost be the confirmations that you needed.
Right.
Because obviously you're different. You're like, I feel like I hate to use this guy as an example. This is the importance of artists. Mm-hmm. I'm in this. I'm in the studio with R. Kelly one night, and mm-hmm. Kells is talking to an artist I just signed. Mm-hmm. And R. Kelly tells the kid, he says, like I swear. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
It was like a weird moment, but I'm like, he tells the kid, hey, boy, you're an alien. And the mm-hmm. artist was like, almost like, how the fuck did you figure that out? Right. Like, how'd you know that? And Kels was like, you an alien, boy. You ain't talented. You an alien. He said, how you know? He said, because I'm an alien, and I can recognize one. Mm. And that's why L.A. Reid always taught me, always listen to the artists. Mm. Because they know. When right. L.A. always tells a story, he said, I remember we had a few artists, but it was Beyonce that kept saying, that Rihanna girl is special. Mm. That's what really made him kind of focus on it. Because Beyonce was like, there. something about her. Because, you know, obviously y'all pushing the other girls, but that Rihanna girl, L.A. was like, he always held on to that. So hearing, like, you probably spot artists like, you're different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
we acknowledge the thing that we all kind of have. Yes. Where all those like-minded people meet. Like, Dre says that about me.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, you alien.
Yeah, you different.
Like, you out of this world. Like, you don't think
regular.
Like, you're not human.
Yeah.
And I get that. Because when you're a creator, so when you're in the studio or when you're writing anywhere, when that idea comes, it's not from you. It's such an out of body. It's yours, but it doesn't.
But you know somebody, you know God sent it to you.
Because there's no way I could just come with these chords, this melody, this story, all of these things in one, and it be so for sure, like dead on.
Yeah.
And like usually when I write, it's not just the idea, it's the entire movie. Mm. Like I see the entire scope, like beginning to end, and that right there is where Alien, yes, God, absolutely.
Exactly. Nah, but you definitely have something unique. Let me ask you, you are the person, like every rapper, every credible, true, real rapper, mm-hmm. you're on their list of voices they want to work with. Mm-hmm. Who's on your list of rappers that you like, I want to get in the studio with them?
I did them all.
Oh,
like my top ones that I would go, oh, I have to Jay-Z, I have to
you did that.
Nas, I have to, like.
Everybody's just like, what's your, I was hoping you was going to say something like, Soulja Boy, you know, I think me and I'm like, I was just hoping you was going to be like, I want to get in a room with somebody.
I learned the Soulja Boy dance at Doppler Studios in the parking lot. Thank you, Sterling. he was like, yo, I'm not a Soulja Boy, I was with you. We Soulja Boyed that whole at Doppler Studios in 88.
I love that.
Over some, what were we drinking? Grey Goose pear and ginger ale.
So I'm gonna bring something up to you. I'm a huge podcast fan, and I'm only bringing this up to you because I'm speaking from a fan standpoint. Mm-hmm. As someone that's a fan of you, that I've been in a room with you, and mm-hmm. you know how this is. You be in a room with people, you could kind of tell, that's a bitch. He's an asshole. He's a dick. So I was watching an interview. Amanda Seales was talking about her experience with you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little frustrated watching it. And I remember telling my lady, I was like, Marsha's like the sweetest human being I've ever met in my life. So I didn't like, I'm telling you as a fan, I didn't like the picture that was painted of you. I just didn't like it.
That's her painting.
Yeah.
Every artist is going to make up what they thought that moment was for them. And, you know, I did end up watching the interview, but I'm fast forwarding into 17 years later from that 3 week moment. Mm.
It was only 3 weeks?
In the summer of 2007 was the tour. Yes, we met prior to that, but the tour itself was 3 weeks. And the bottom line is it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Yeah. From label standpoint, management standpoint, Flowetry fans standpoint, it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a total different recollection and painting of what that was. You know what I'm saying? But so I get you saying, oh, you can tell who's a bitch. No, if you didn't know me, you wouldn't know that I was like this.
Yeah.
Barely people have heard me. I wasn't the speaker, the vocal point of Flowetry at one point. Like, you didn't hear me speak in interviews.
Yeah.
Mostly the Flowetry. She's the poet. She's
the rap personality.
I'm going to sing. So that was my niche, and I stuck to that. So by the time I'm in my element, and I am the songstress of Flowetry, and it's 07, and I've done all of these things.
Yeah.
It's already Michael Jackson. It's already Prince. It's already Stevie. It's already the thing.
I love
I'm
you.
Already...
yeah.
Everything is just... oh, this doesn't work, you know? Like,
it became, I got you.
You know? So I'm like, okay. So I've moved on 17 years later, and I can't help how people feel. You know what I'm saying?
But my only thing was, if you're in this business, you got to be smart enough to know that when there are a lot of moving parts, people don't know everything. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I could easily paint the picture of, like, Rick knew. It's like, how do I know Rick knew unless I heard someone tell Rick?
True.
That's the part I didn't like. It was, if it was that was my experience, it was that. But it was almost like that was my experience and she did nothing or whatever was said. I'm like,
and
how the fuck do you even know?
That's that. But I can't speak on her experience. I can only speak for myself. And
is that the moment that made you say, I'm going just to be Marsha?
I'm 17 years healed.
Yeah.
Or not even thinking about 07 like that. My 07 is Doppler.
Yes.
Doing the Soldier Boy in the parking lot and like Magic City Chicken Wings. Like
Magic City Chicken Wings.
I know that's right.
Yeah. The original.
The original.
Now, the lemon pepper is the original.
Yeah.
So, I'm just in a different space.
Like, I always say you can tell what people are in life and by what they bring up, but I'm just saying on record, since I've known you, I've been in sessions with you, and you've always been the person I've met. And I've been in scenarios where you didn't have to be. So I want to say that on record, because you've always been good.
I appreciate that, and you don't, listen, it's okay. Like, it's like I think people have to say they want to take sides or hear one story, or like I said, I'm cool.
You're in a good space.
Okay.
That's how motherfuckers talk. They just in a good space. What happened?
Okay. Oh, that's
cool.
Great.
That's cool.
They'll be like, yo, I gotta tell you what happened. Hold up, where's my coffee though?
Right.
My coffee. Okay, thank you.
Like,
what happened?
Please.
Yeah.
Kendrick and Drake and Demon.
Yes,
like,
yes.
There was so much things going on planet Earth where I'm
so from 07, fast forward just a little bit, we get to 2011. You go and record your first solo LP, Late Nights, Early Mornings. Talk us through that. What was your mindset? What was the process?
It was a process, but I got there in the end. I feel like there was so many different voices pushing me into this solo artist space that I was over that.
Yeah.
I was literally in a group with a poet on purpose. It's the biggest invisibility cloak I could have ever had.
That's
and I say that because I wanted to create something that was innovative and different.
Mm.
So I had the songs, I'd produce some things, and it was like, hey, I want you to put some poetry to this music, and that's how Flowetry happens. Outside of that, I wanted to be a solo artist when I was like 19. When I was trying to be Lauren. When I had an 16
bar. I'm gonna say, you rapping?
What?
I need to hear that.
You can Google it right now. It's called Is This Real by Marsha. It wasn't even Marsha Ambrose. Just
okay.
Marsha.
I got you.
Is This Real? It was on WEA Records. I was rapping, and it's still a bop, by the way. Rapping and singing, but there was no space for that in the UK at the time. No one was accepting Lauren's back then.
Yeah.
So fast forward to I've tore ligaments. I'm not hooping anymore. I'm making music professionally. I have my first publishing deal. And that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be Quincy Jones. I still have my mood board when I was a kid. Mm. Quincy Jones.
Oh, you said you hooped.
Yeah, that was first love. First love was hoop.
Like, so are you still a basketball fan?
Fan, and yeah, absolutely.
Who's your team? Players more so than the team?
Yeah.
Well, she's from the UK, so I probably, who's your favorite players?
Well, this is the thing. I got to Philly 2000.
Oh, so AI. I only got to ask the question.
No, but I got to see firsthand. Not only, I'm not saying AI is my favorite player, but I was in the club with AI, and we are the same height.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that and seeing what he's doing on the floor to the Shaqs, mm-hmm. the Kobe's.
Yeah.
I'm like, this man is
incredible. Pound for pound, one of the best ever doing.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal because I'm no shade Aaron McKee, no shade Eric Snow.
Say the truth.
Basketball fan. She's
talking facts right now.
You hear what I'm saying about that's supposed to be your triangle?
Yeah.
Yes, Mutombo, but okay. Like
he dragged the poo-poo pile to the finals.
Yeah. Yep.
No, and AI was, the city was on fire. I've seen nothing like it.
Yeah, he's
you know what
amazing.
I mean? So AI, much respect to seeing him firsthand doing what he was doing.
Who was your game named that? Like, who would you say your game was?
I'm a shooter.
Klay Thompson.
Steph Curry.
Me and my brother, we really could be the
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Flash brother and sister, my brother could really shoot, so that's funny, like the most light-skinned ballers ever, like Clay and Steph. Yeah, we could be Clay and Steph, I'd say that, there you go.
I'm just curious, from an industry standpoint, why did you guys feel like, or did you feel like you had to leave the UK to get on? And I'm asking that because the UK feels like true R&B lives there.
I can't even be part of that conversation.
Okay.
Because not only did the UK not give us any, when I say not give us any love, we were doing underground shows. It comes back down to the free flight.
Mm.
It comes back down to opportunity and the timing of it all. We stayed in the UK, maybe something would have panned out.
Yeah.
History won't tell that story though. So I could never tell. So
yeah.
I think, you know, it's my family that gets the, why didn't the UK embrace you after the fact? I don't think anyone cared that we were British.
Yeah.
They just loved the music so much and said it was dope. It was never just a
gimmicky
thing.
It was y'all was different.
Yeah, it was just different.
It was different and Michael Jackson co-signed it. That's all we needed to hear.
That's it.
And y'all was, that was all we needed to know.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
So me doing the solo thing was terrifying.
Mm.
I was like, oh, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I like standing stage left with my eyes closed and not having to do much but be in my feelings. And I was like, no, you could move that microphone to center stage and do the same thing.
Exactly.
So once I began writing again and we get to late nights and early mornings, we went on so many tangents just then, but when we get to late nights and early mornings, it's all of those things, though,
because
I had to take all of those things into account. The heartbreak, the the hoop dreams, the what's my story? Because this is my first album. So what am I actually saying? And I was like, who do I get to produce this thing? And I was like, bitch, you, the fuck? Like, get to it. So I did. And I produced and wrote 89% of that thing. So it just began organically. I remember going, no, actually, I got the track from Rich Harrison, which then became the title track. I was like, oh, late nights, early mornings. So that happens. I went in for a couple of weeks with Just Blaze. Far Away happens. And 1500 and Nothing were working with him simultaneously. So we get to do, you know, the games, Why You Hate the Game during that time also. And that kind of spearheaded my affinity and affiliation with rap hooks. And it just kind of did this, like, I need that Why You Hate the Game. So now it's Nas. Now it's Common. Now it's everyone. Now I have a hook with everybody. So all of these things were happening for Late Nights and Early Mornings. I was in with Alicia Keys for her As I Am album. We do Go Head, but then I wrote a ballad called With You, and she actually recorded it first. And I was like, Alicia, you have to do this record. This thing changes everything for you. Like, sit. And she just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Let me have it back though.
Exactly.
And
right.
She, with her blessing, you know, I'll take it back.
Yeah.
And ended up doing that, and it's a beautiful song that starts the album. Anticipation, the intro for that album, I actually wanted, it used to be called Stars, and it still says Stars in my iTunes featuring Prince, because I wanted him to do the guitar solo on the end, and I never got to get that done before we went to mixing and mastering, and I was very upset. And it really was a, respectfully, you working with a label?
Yeah.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah.
And I had to take that.
Yeah.
Prince
was a real, bro.
He was a real one.
But I'm here for you.
Yes.
And absolutely was.
Yes.
Like, this man was in Philly doing a show and called me out from the audience at the Electric Factory. All I heard is him say, like, I heard Marsha Ambrosius is in the house. And then he said it again. I was like, I heard my name. Like, and I'm looking around like,
what's going on?
Like, where's she at? Oh, me. When I realized he meant get up on stage with him and rock out, I ran through that crowd like The Price is Right. Like,
come on down.
Fix your hair and shit.
All at the same time as Late Nights and Early Mornings. So I'm getting all of these nods of approval. Like, no, it's you, it's you, it's you. I had a great conversation with him. And we had an after party at, was it 32 Degrees on Market and Chestnut. Crazy little dingy spot in Philly, but here's Prince and all of my homies dying, just passing out, fainting. Like, here's Prince. It was ridiculous. But there's me having a conversation like, I've just recorded this album, signing to J Records, Peter Edge is over there, feel like it's a good fit. Looks like they're gonna do right by this project, and hope she cheats on you with a basketball player happens. And that's by way of a Ustream live freestyle.
Yeah.
And I just thought the song was funny until it was on the radio, like in mix shows. No single, no video, no nothing. And this thing is like top 10.
Just going.
And I'm like, So we follow up with our Far Away. Far Away takes off as number one. So it got time and effort to get to that space, but classic nonetheless.
I have a question. You ooze. Am I tripping, Rick? Does she not ooze creative?
No question.
Okay, I feel like you breathe creative. How do you pick the time to come out? Because it feels like you do it. Like it feels like it just come out of you. But is it like I gotta muster up the energy to do this shit? Because like, how do you decide like it's time to go?
God decides. Like even when I've wanted to sit down and deny the feeling, those stories, those melodies, those things, they come out of thin air. Like I've walked around Sam's Club or Walmart with my phone in my hand, voice noting something because whatever was playing on the loudspeakers or a melody of someone's voice has reminded me of something, and I've heard a pattern with someone's steps, and I'm like, oh, that sounds that one, and I'll play it back like, what was I thinking? And I will remember, even with the little melody, what the story was behind that. I'll go, oh yeah, Walmart, exactly. That person was walking, they said yes, and da da da. it just happens. And I just have to receive these messages in whatever form.
And then, at that moment, you say, you know what? I have enough messages. It's time for me to make an album.
Because they'll keep happening to the point where when I do ignore them and I forget one, I feel like that's God saying, see?
I get that.
Please give me, I know that one was, it wasn't it. It wasn't for you. I gave it to someone else already.
Love that. I always say we're all on God's timing. Mm-hmm. And we like to think we're not. We like to think we're in control, but we have no control.
Once you
accept that you have no control, life becomes so much better.
It does.
Because it's like, you know what? It's not in my hands no more.
None of it is. Yeah, it's like, ultimately, it really is.
Whatever. I guess so. Like, I get it. It's like, I'm just wondering. I'm like, it oozes out of you. You know, you remind me of you, the female Dr. Dre. That's crazy that y'all. That's crazy that y'all got an album out, right? That's crazy that I got an album drop because Dr. Dre is known for like if you don't know, Dr. Dre is in the studio every day. He's working every day creating.
Yeah.
That shit might not come out until he feels like it.
Some people may never hear it.
It's not God's time. It's Dre's time.
It's Dre's time.
So that's why this album, no, I'm not going to say that. I will.
The only thing longer than God's timing is Dre's
time.
I think Dre accept that.
Yeah, that's the exception.
What is it
to
like both of y'all being so creative in the studio together? I would love to be a fly on the wall of that studio session.
It was musical soulmates, like... Once we had what it was that we were gonna do, like you said, when God got it, it was like, just go. There's the piano, there's the strings, there's the horns, there's that beat knocking right at the right time, there's the dropout, there's the symphony happening at the end, going into another melody and another title. And it was just magic.
Mm.
Like, I've had it with myself. I can say that I've had it with Andre Harris. I can say that on stage during performance, I had that with the Flow Assist. I can say that I've had that with Just Blaze, several other producers that I could name, but true ones that really understood it, where it was like, yo, this is bigger than us. This is where I get a Say Yes from or a Butterflies. This is where I get a Far Away from.
Yeah.
Getting a Casablanca out of Dr. Dre. When you press play on this, you're like, yo, Dre did this?
Yes.
I don't think anyone's heard him do this, but it took me to get it there, but it also took him to get it way there.
Yeah, because he's finishing. Like, he's a finisher.
Closer. Yeah. Absolute closer. So by the time we do, it literally took a year and some change to clear. Because when we were doing it, I'm like, oh, this is just a passion project.
Yeah.
Ain't no way I can take Duke Ellington, Wu-Tang, Michael Jackson, George Benson, Patrice Rushen, and everybody else in one song.
Yeah.
And that's just one set of credits. That's without me adding original pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
It was it's the literal how dare you album of all time.
I love
sure
that.
It will be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most samples on any record. That there ever was. Like, maybe more than Public Enemy, the first album.
Wow.
Maybe.
You know how I feel about Public Enemy. Yeah. You know how I feel about Public Enemy.
Them credits, it's yes. Like James Brown, Funkadelic.
Literally, on every song.
This album goes above and beyond. I even had to sample myself and get clearance.
I love that. And I love we was listening to it. I love the Mary reference. Got work to dog. That's one of my favorite Mary records. I think that is my favorite Mary J. Blige record of all time.
Go through my interviews throughout life, and I will always say Queen Mary, Queen Mary. She knows.
Yeah.
So this album for me is a thank you to everyone that I've creatively aspired to create for, be around, be respected by.
Yeah.
And just a thank you. Like, if the world was gonna end tomorrow and this album is my last, there it is.
Going out with a bang.
I'm cool. I will be absolutely okay with that.
It's like, how do you top everything you've done? How do you top that?
Even if there was a follow-up album to this, it would just be trying to repeat what we did again. And we'd just make more good music, great music. This is the first one, though.
So let me ask you. One of one. So figuratively speaking, you're in the studio. Dre has a lot of collaborators around him. Mm-hmm. Are they looking at you like, how the fuck she getting the album out? Like, we've been working on the album for fucking 30 fucking years. And how the fuck did she get in here and get an album out? And it's with Aftermath. So it's like, it's not like he gave you the album and you went and made it. You still needed him. Like, I know people looking like, what the fuck did you do?
I can't do anything about that being a feeling for anyone to have. That part's not on me.
Yeah.
Dre says it's Dre time, it's Dre time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, there's been people that have been working on things that should have been, that could have been. Dre literally said it himself. He was like, sometimes I create and I want to make music that's just for me.
Yeah.
He may have released 2% of the music that he's created. And within that 2% has dared to make 5 other billionaires. The nerve.
The fucking nerve.
That was a bar. That was a bar.
Like, absolute nerve. So, to be a fraction of that, 2%, 3% now. Why not? Why not me? I get it.
Yeah.
Other people wanted that shot, and I am the only one that has a full album produced by Dr. Dre.
Coming out.
That's coming out.
With a release date.
We got a song. We got a release date.
How many days? We have 16 days.
Oh, man. You let's just keep our fingers crossed. Hey, upload it to the DSPs. Let's please make sure.
Everything come on, can you think?
He might come and be like, y'all want to mix something again? No.
We good.
What are you talking about? I just finished doing an interview. I got an idea, though. Trust me. Dre, you ain't going to do this shit to me.
How it's been, how it goes. But with this album, when I tell you, we recorded that first song April 16th, 2021, or somewhere around there. And we knew, so we had to follow it up with more. Mm-hmm. We had to, because of how magic it felt. So by the time we get to song 8 or 9, he's looking at me like, see? I told him I wanted to quit. I was like, I want to get my Quincy Jones on. I'm good. I just want to be a producer. I just want to be a writer. I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve in this game. There's nothing that's going
to
make
me be
like,
I was just about to ask you. That was going to be my question for you. Is there anything that you want to accomplish that you like, I just want, that's on my bucket list?
Maybe it is this. And I didn't know that this was the bucket list. Like, let me see through this Dre thing that's been whispered about, that may have been a thing, may not be a thing. Maybe timing. You say God's timing. Maybe Dre's timing is truly a real thing.
Dre's timing seems to be a real thing.
Wait, but Dre's timing, we literally had to have COVID happen, pandemic, health scares, brain aneurysms, and say, you know what? This is it. May as well go out with a bang.
Mm. Crazy.
We said we was going to do it, so let's go ahead and do it. And we did. And we got to that 11th song. And for me to say, yo, Dre, that's it, we're done. So that's it.
You said you were done.
Shit. No, I didn't say Dre's on
Marsha's timing.
Right. So I didn't say I'm done. I said we. We're done.
Yeah.
So look at that. He has like the whiteboards in the studio, writes the titles. We had like the two palm trees. It's a Casablanca in the middle. I said, look at it. Going through each title, we'd listen to it like for weeks. So sometimes we were supposed to create and we would go in the studio and we would just listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, let's get a 27-piece orchestra. Bet. So that's what this needs.
27-piece orchestra.
Eric Orfain on the string arrangement brought Eric in. He listened to the album, was composing, drawing up the charts. For the rest of the team, we go to Gower Studios later on in the year, September-ish, and we do the strings, and that's when he's hype. He's on it. Dre don't post shit. He's like this, selfie, with an orchestra, like, yo, this is some of my best work. I'm like, yo, you see what Dre posted? Like, this is, we ain't cleared the sample, nothing.
That's amazing.
Hype, because of what it felt like. There was no denying what it felt like. So everyone's like, yo, Dre was talking about this album in 2021. It took a year and some change just to clear it.
That's crazy.
It took several years just health-wise to get everything back together and back on track and just feel this happiness you see me exude, this peace that you feel from me,
this vibe. I feel peaceful right now.
It took some doing. Yeah. And I really, now that I'm on the other side of everything, I really can't tell you how I got here. It's been a crazy, wild journey, but I'm just glad that I'm in it and you feel it too.
Can I tell you what that tells me? To me, that reads, you've been present. Mm. Because a lot of the times we'll have good things happen for us, but our minds are on the trauma that we witnessed.
Right.
So now we're looking for the drama. When if you just stay present in the moment, it's like, this is really fucking good. Sometimes when I'm down on myself, I have to remind myself that when you were 21, you dreamed of everything you have.
Right.
And what they don't tell us is that when we dream, we don't dream bad shit in a dream. The dream is like everything is nice and fluffy. So you don't think,
right?
Yeah,
you don't think
about
it.
I'm dropping the album Dream. Yes, that's the dream. You're gonna spend 18 months working on clearing records. Fuck!
Yeah,
why wasn't that in my dream? Like, I should, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's what it really is.
It's really, you're gonna do an album with Dre, but 2 years before that, you're almost gonna die.
Yeah. What happened with your health, if you don't mind asking?
It's a long story, but I'm over the other side of that.
For sure.
And in such a space that even to think about where I was, it's night and day.
Can I just tell you, I just want to give you a pound for that. Can I tell you why? Because I went through the last maybe, like I've been going through a transition because obviously I was like, I was a label exec and obviously I've always had my management company. But when I left there, I remember I didn't want to do that no more. And that was my identity. That's all I knew.
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't want to do that no more, but I don't know what I want to do. So somebody just put a mic in front of me. Ask me a question. That's what I'm going to do. And the journey, this couch is therapy for me.
Right.
Because I'm watching you talk. Like, I speak that to everybody in my life. I'm like, get to the other side, bro. Mm. You got to get to the other side because you're
that's
in it.
Yeah.
And it's over there. So when are you going to start? You got to start now.
And that's the thing with healing. It's whether or not that's what your end game is to do. Like, do you want to stay where you were at?
Yeah.
And that's cool.
When?
But like, I.
Yes.
It's.
I don't even want to think about my life before that because this is my life now.
No.
And I'm happy
in
it.
But you can do it in a way where it's rewarding. You thank.
Yes.
Not your mistakes or any mishaps or any negativity that's ever happened in your life, but you can look back and go, thankfully, I made it through those moments and I'm on the other side of it. So I pray for resolve for anybody.
I could tell you're happy. And because I always say there's certain things, you can't take a happy motherfucker down a dark road. I'm happy. You ain't taking me down. I'm happy right now. You are not taking me down that dark road.
No.
They'll try.
You try. Like, don't get it fucked up. Like, everyone has their dark moments.
Yeah.
Like, there's down days. There might be some tears.
Yeah.
But I feel like I was in a space before where it was just tears. It was just dark days. And I couldn't see the resolve. I couldn't see my way out of it. I'm talking about screaming from the top of a mountain and that not helping.
Mm.
Screaming to the people that I love, crying out for some type of help and couldn't see it through.
Yeah.
But by the time I'm on the other side of that, I'm not saying nothing triggers that, but when I see people who aren't there that were in my life during that piece, I don't even want it.
Like, I gotta go.
I'm not there anymore.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Don't even bring it up.
I have to deflect it. It's not even don't bring it up. It's, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
And I've been there and I'm so past it. I refuse to allow you to bring me right back to where it was.
Yeah, I worked too hard to get out of that hole.
Then it's beef. Then it's a fight. Now I'm gonna have to smack you. Like,
what that shit escalated real quick. Now it's beef. Now we're fighting. Hold on. What are you talking about?
But it's with anything.
Yeah.
But like, why? Why would you want to feel like that?
Yeah.
But people take you, test you in those ways. And it's like, but why?
Yeah. I love that. You're awesome. I just want to tell you that. I'm genuinely happy for where you are as a black woman because the world is not as kind.
Oh, no.
And sometimes you got to fight the fucking world to show them that you're going to be kind to me.
And do.
And I could tell you did, and you're over it. So I definitely want to give you kudos for that. There's a game we like to play.
Oh, Lord.
Jack, did you talk about the game yet?
No.
Okay, so by the way, you don't have to play it. You don't have to play it. No, let me, I'm going to tell you the game. I'm going to give you the rules. The game is called Making the Cut, right? And we're going to give you three options. Those three options might read like Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan. And you have to pick one that you're going to sign. Mm-hmm. You have to pick one that you're going to put into development, and you have to cut one.
Now,
I'm not going to give you that one, but I do a basketball fan, so I gave it to you. Uh-huh. But if most pods, they when they give you a game and you don't, they make you drink, they make you smoke. I don't do that. We have a nonprofit that we are partnered with. Okay. It's a creative academy, and every question I want to answer is a $20 donation. You can't see it, bro. She can see it. It's right. It's a cash app. She can see it. But we give you three options. We prefer you answer. And if you don't, the kids win no matter what. So I'm going to give you like four
kids,
or five.
For the kids.
I'm going to give you like four or five. You ready?
For the kids.
By the way, Jack sent these to me. So
disclaimer.
I like to tell you that because he going to because
Right under the bus.
On God.
Throw you.
On God. This is crazy. On God. I did not look at what he sent me. I just looked at it. Look at the three names he gave me.
I hate everyone.
He gave me AI, Kobe, and Mike. I just made that up. I didn't even know that was there. So I'm not going to do that one. Not going to do that. This nigga. Okay, I'm going to make
you can.
I'm going to go easy. I'm going to go easy. Let's go easy. You ready? Mm-hmm. A Touch of Jazz, J Records, Aftermath.
I'm cutting J Records.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that was coming.
A Touch of Jazz in development and signing
up. We fucking with the Aftermath.
Yeah.
Love you.
Out of those choices, for sure.
I love you. You're so amazing. All right. Hard one. Really hard. Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston.
Sign Whitney. Now, hear me out.
It's your floor. It's you. The floor is yours.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Okay.
I cut Mariah because I know that she's going to be okay.
That's a good answer.
I know that's right.
I cut Mariah because I don't have enough room on my roster because I already have Whitney,
I got you.
So my rival label,
yes.
Ooh, we're going to battle for that 1-2 spot forever. But I love I'm it. Developing Mary.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, couple more. This one, I don't know about this one, Jack. I'm going to give a Jack. Sometimes Jack be just giving you like, sometimes Jack just give you the hard one. All right, Dr. Dre, Quincy Jones, Pharrell.
That's good.
Your people like.
Oh, the Jeopardy music.
He said we can donate.
I know I'm developing Pharrell.
Ooh. Ooh, she just drew the line in the sand.
So that's either Quincy or Dre. Yes. Getting the snip.
Next.
$20 for the kids. The kids are. We're gonna send you pictures with the kids eating pizza. We're gonna send you pictures with the kids eating pizza. You
got it.
He's like, yo, donate. Don't even do it. It's fun. We like to put you in little traps. We like to put you in little traps. It's a little fun. It's a little.
That was it. Yeah. That was dirty work right there. That was dirty work.
I'm like, Dre is like. I know you wonder because the only reason I made it, only reason I have one was interested is because we've been hearing I'm gonna be the next Quincy.
Yep.
And I'm working with the greatest of Dre. So you said Pharrell, I'm like, hold the fuck up. We are about to start over.
Do the white flag and quick.
All right, couple more. Chris Brown, Usher, and I'm only speaking about music. Kells.
Cutting Kells.
I love you. You're so natural.
Because whatever he's going to do, he's going to do it. Okay.
Yes. So who we developing? Who we signing?
That's a tough one. I love them both. we're talking about right now?
This is how you want to do it.
So, I developed Chris because I know he's going to be the Usher that was.
Mm.
And Usher being signed, and as nice as he is, he will pull Chris up.
He's going to set the example.
Yeah.
Great point. Mm-hmm. All right, two more. The second, the hardest one is coming. Oh. Jay-Z, Nas,
who's the Kendrick. Third one? Oh,
Jesus. You can say it, bro. You can jump in and he's like... We need our own theme music that I can just play on the phone, right? That's a hard one.
Yeah, it is.
Is it though?
Let's go.
I developed Kendrick.
She drew a line in the sand.
Okay, I can see where this is going. Okay.
I just love the mode you in. You in character and everything now.
I could. The check.
Put it out to the kids, guys. I was just like, hold on. All right. Okay. The last one.
Okay.
The last one is the absolute hardest. I know the answer, but I have to do it.
Go.
Prince, MJ, Stevie. We done went through the umbrella. You all, they all three bullshit. And you right now.
Bullshit. Okay, hold up. Hold up.
I got 40,
Mark. Huh?
You got 40?
Yeah, you got
40? Can't cut nobody? Can't even develop nobody?
That's a hard. I mean,
No.
This show should be called dedicated to Stevie, Mike, and Prince. Like, that's how much you love you showing them.
Nights like this, I wish raindrops would fall. Make it rain for the kids. Make it rain.
I gotta ask you a random question. What is your favorite biopic or movie pick?
The Five Heartbeats.
Cause you said five. That's what triggered me.
Everyone thinks that they were a real group.
They were,
and they were. Yes. Okay, I've been on Robert Townsend's. I watched the Five Heartbeats on the plane on the way here. Because it was on Delta. I was like, what? Put that thing right on. And I was crying like I'd never seen it before.
Incredible.
Eddie Kane, when he said, I feel like going on in what? Church, lost my... I'm on the... Like,
listen,
flight attendant was like, you good? Give me a water.
Because Robert Townsend's head is down. Then he lifts it up like he hears that voice like...
Take your time.
Yeah,
take
like, oh, time. Shit, that's what I'm doing
the
here.
Goosebumps. Yes. Everyone's performance in that top notch. Temptations. We used to watch that on the tour bus and cry like we didn't know none of them died. Like, what's wrong with us? We know the story. I've read the books, like all the things. The Temptations is a great biopic.
So that's your top one?
Yeah.
Anybody come to see you, Otis?
Like, yeah.
That's the line of the life.
Leon, anybody come to see you,
Otis? Leon played the hell out of David Ruffin.
Right. Yeah. Just David Ruffin it and like, but no, Five Heartbeats, I've asked Robert Townsend if he would kindly adapt that into a stage play. Cause I want to be in that audience when Cookie's front row.
Yes.
And, oh, and they're trying to get booed. Yeah. I feel like we all come into the auditorium and it's that talent show for the
You know,
first
you could
time.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You should put it together. Candy just put together the Wiz. You could put together.
Listen, what do we have to do to make this happen?
Get at you, me. You need to be in it.
Need parts of that. That thing is just magic.
That's incredible.
Just absolute magic. So yeah.
Random questions. We have arguments on this show all the time. We like to argue. Thriller, Purple Rain, the albums. Which one
Purple
would you
Rain.
Rank?
My preference.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yours.
Purple Rain.
Me too. As a kid, Thriller, I always thought it was Thriller.
Not even. I wasn't really on Thriller, the album. I loved the zombies.
Yes.
Loved Black Werewolf Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Absolutely was trying to get at his neck. He was fine as hell in that varsity jacket. I told him to his face. I did. I told Mike, Black Werewolf Mike. You were for me.
You were the nigga.
Absolutely. Man.
That's what Butterflies were written about.
What? Absolutely. Get on my neck. Get right. No. Purple Rain, work of art.
Bro, at the end of the movie, when he comes in and there's nothing better in the history of cinema.
Never.
Musically, music scene, nothing is better than that moment.
So even the point where someone in the audience,
yep.
Remember that part?
Yeah.
Just one person.
Yeah.
I feel like someone couldn't hold back the tears.
Yeah.
You can hear the sound. Yeah. A pin could drop.
Them faces, when they were zooming in, you could tell them motherfuckers was...
The emotion in that room. And I remember going to Minneapolis and playing First Avenue. And I rolled on the stage performing Darling Nikki for soundcheck. I ain't care. So where's that red spotlight? Give it to a new girl named Nikki.
What?
Listen, Purple Rain by far. I say not Thriller because it's not Off the Wall and it's not Bad.
I think Off the Wall and Bad to me are better than Thriller.
I would have had a harder choice. Had you said Purple Rain or Off the Wall, I'd have been like,
Yeah, that's different. That gets different.
Yeah. But Purple Rain, I always say, as good as Thriller is, Thriller, and this is just my opinion, doesn't have a song that makes you feel emotionally what Purple Rain feels and doesn't have a song that makes you feel the way I Will Die For You feels.
Oh my
God. That shit is like God was in the room. He was there. He said, I got it. And to know that Prince played every instrument.
Beautiful Ones, the nerve. Beautiful Ones, Take Me With You, the nerve.
I'm watching Purple Rain as soon as I get home tonight. I cannot wait.
Oh my, listen. Apollonia and all of her gloriousness being, in that Lake Minnetonka.
And the scene where Morris Day, when he performed, and everybody is the coordination of the scene where he's on stage. Jerome, why we don't have more Jeromes in music?
Just
a nigga that got a mirror up, like making sure you look good on stage.
I'm not saying you have to wear high heels and eyeliner.
Yeah.
But the fact that I was that attracted to Prince and ain't flinched one time with him being yay high with a perm and eyeliner.
Yeah.
He was something else.
Y'all movie, you know what y'all movie would have been called? Love and Basketball. Because Prince Hoops. Dave Chappelle said it, Prince Hoops.
No, he did. Like he
would have been the one-on-one.
What? I mean, he's smaller than me. I cook Prince.
Right.
I couldn't even say it out my mouth.
It's so hard to say. But it's hard.
No, the last time I was going to see him, he was supposed to come to Yoshi's in Oakland, but he went to the Warriors game that night. I'm like, yo, you're not coming through. So I'm courtside at the game with his cane like this, Afro shades. I'm like, dang.
Yeah, I love that. I can talk music with you all day. All right, we got a couple things. We have this segment of the show called Credit Check. Mm-hmm. We like to give credit on this show because credit can be leveraged. Flowers can't. I don't want flowers. Flowers die and go. I want credit. Let me while it's alive. Who are two or three unsung heroes in a Marsha Ambrosius story that you just feel like I want to just shout them out?
Emily King.
Who is Emily?
Emily King was signed to J Records when I was there. She eventually got another deal with someone else. She had an album called The Switch. Still making music, phenomenal artist, but she was around during such a vulnerable part of my life and my journey. I remember being at SOB's in New York. She'd opened for Floetry and I was crying in the bathroom. If you've ever been to SOB's, it's like a basement downstairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the artist could barely get anywhere to get changed.
Yeah,
we had
that
big mirror, your whole entourage is down there. And I'm just crying, I'm emotional. And she caught me right as she's trying to go in the bathroom. I'm trying to come out, get myself together. And she gave me this look like it was gonna be okay.
Mm.
I broke down in that little girl's arms and I let all of my emotions out. And I didn't take into consideration that I just let her have to hold that weight because of how she felt about me. It's sort of like I'm on the road with Marsha Ambrosius, Floetry, and I have to give her credit for really pulling me out. What could have gone a completely different direction.
That's
had
fire.
She just not caught me in that moment.
That's fire.
So, her. Someone else to credit that didn't get their just due. That's tough. Because I've been open with my space.
Yeah.
I've been open with the credit that I've given.
Yeah.
I haven't had too many people where I'm like, I'm not saying I don't owe anyone anything. Anyone feels like they're owed, go ahead. But I think that one right there, if I haven't said it enough, just thank you to Emily King in that moment. That's the only one I can really think
that's
of.
That's okay.
Right now.
I would. How did being a mother change you?
Completely. Any parent, what it does to your heart, my heart is different.
Yeah.
The intention behind actual like love is different. Like, oh, I love you. I can't say I love you for real.
Yeah.
I love my daughter.
Yes.
Like it's different.
Yeah.
So she's just opened my eyes to like a whole other like thing.
Did she give you the strength that made you have to push through?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what my kids did for me. Like,
absolutely.
Once my kids were born, I'm like, I can't afford to be a baby no more.
Oh, no,
I have to be the
no.
man.
But even with that, she keeps me young.
Yeah.
Like, I do have to woman up. But at the same time, it's like, mommy, let's do this. Like she's a walking Broadway musical.
Oh, my God.
Every day. And
she needs to be the little girl in the play that's like, don't matter how hard. You got to come on now.
Listen.
You got to do it.
With the paper. We have a finish.
What? Come on. I want to see that, by the way. When you do it, I want to invite. I'm telling you, I'm coming. Call Robert Townsend.
I dreamt about that play.
We should do it here in Atlanta because Atlanta would show up. That shit would be like,
well,
New York and then Atlanta because New York, oh, my God.
It's done. I've spoken into existence now. It's going to
happen. I have no choice.
Absolutely going to happen.
So, last question. Unless you got something, Rick.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So this is called
prepared.
This is called the God Show. GODS is an acronym for goats and underdogs. Mm. Do you consider yourself a goat or do you consider yourself an underdog? And if you do consider yourself an underdog, what do you personally feel like you have to accomplish for you to call yourself a goat?
I'm a goat.
Right away.
Knock my watch off my arm, nigga. Like,
right
my
away.
Watch off my motherfucking arm.
And whether anyone says I'm an underdog, I feel like it's not acknowledged as such, but I am a goat. There's no way I'm not a goat.
Listen.
Like,
girl writes a record at 16 for a boy at McDonald's that Michael Jackson sings.
You are a goat.
She goes on to, like, come on. Like, you are the fucking goat. And you're the most nonchalant goat ever. Like, it's even better when you're nonchalant. Like, I guess so. I mean, you know.
My spirit is Kanye. There's a Kanye in everyone.
Yeah,
we want to lash out
is.
And let everyone know what that is.
Yes.
But at the same time, like I said, you feel some type of way. Well, Prince said otherwise. Stevie said otherwise.
Right.
Mike said otherwise. Too many other people
the
said
goats
otherwise.
The called you the goat. And on that note, this is the God
it's
Show. It's nothing I can say.
It's a bar.
The goats called you the goat. So you are the goat. We're going to change that picture from a goat to Marsha's face. I need somebody to give me a silhouette. What can defend? Somebody give me a silhouette of Marsha's face. I'm going to make your face the goat. I just want to tell you, I've been in this shit a long time. I've seen so many people lose themselves. You rarely see someone find themselves. And seeing you glowing, looking beautiful as ever, having found yourself, I just want to tell you I'm proud of you. And we celebrate you. And I hope everybody who sees this, watches, listens to your album, streams that shit, because we won't get another Lauren until we support everything not low vibrational. And to me, we need you to win.
Thank you.
Shout out to everybody for watching. Shout out to our sponsors. But shout out to Marsha for coming through. Shout out to Kadeef. By the way, I just got to do something. Shout out to Kadeef. Let me show y'all something. Marsha, I'm sorry about it. Show is over, by the way. But you got to say, let me tell y'all something. Marsha comes in here with Kadeef Sylvester, who's my bro from Atlanta. Kadeef sends me the one sheet on Marsha, you know, to get ready for the interview. So I'm like, cool. Rick is like, yo, I didn't get the email. Kadeef was like, I'll send it to you. Matter of fact, you want the one sheet? Pulls out a stack of these.
Yes.
I'm going to find a way to put this shit on the wall. I'm not joking with you. I'm putting it on the wall like a mugshot. Like right. 2-5 mugs and on the wall.
Here.
Like just like, what's that? That's just my ode. That's my ode to Kadeef.
That's love.
And you.
Thanks.
What's better? So Let's go, guys. Let's go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.